Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. Jim Browdy and Marjorie in here with us in Studio 3, as he is every Thursday for Open Mic, is Globe columnist Alex Beeman. Again, when Marjorie and I, Alex, were preparing for today's show, we just got to laugh out of how appropriate it is your name is Alex Beeman, because Alex Beeman, sort of like Alex Trebek, asks the hard questions and has all the answers. Now, before, Marjorie, you say anything, Alex, before they're playing during the fundraising pledge pitch about a half hour ago, something about Judy Collins, and they have an excerpt from yesterday's show. And I have to admit, I was a little overexcited. So when I was praising her for my favorite Beatles cover, which I called All My Life, I get a text from what I thought was a friend of mine saying, or In My Life, as it's sometimes called, which totally threw, it's from Alex Beam. Why did you feel that was necessary, Alex? I was aware that I'd gotten the name.
Well, why didn't you just correct it in real time?
Because I was embarrassed. Okay. I was embarrassed, and I hope people would just forget it.
Beatles songs in world history.
No,
it's extremely beautiful.
I made a little mistake.
And you bleeped it up, for the record.
I did, for
the
record,
yes. Had no stones to correct yourself. By the way, I'm sorry, where's my eco bag? What? Huh?
We'll get you an eco bag.
I'm begging.
I reveled in your correcting, Jim. You know why?
Why is that?
Because Jim is always correcting me. So I felt, yes.
I have one in my back pocket, actually, but I don't know if this is the time to spring it. Jim credited, he's at MIT with the discovery of the human genome, but it's actually Wally Gilbert, widely known.
Is that really true?
Wally Gilbert.
I was going to correct that a little later in the show, but it's...
It's great. Now we need people to listen 2 weeks later to
Thank
catch
you,
correct.
Alex,
you're
okay.
So welcome. Yeah, yeah.
So we read your great column, Computer Generated Nonsense. It was a riot, as it always is, Alex Beeman, but we weren't really sure... What?
Right.
That's exactly. We turned to each other.
Really sure.
It was
you
great.
Were saying,
yeah.
Okay, we read all about the computer-generated nonsense in a million different contexts. And then we thought, is he saying that there's a lot of it? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know. Even the editor sent me an email yesterday saying, does this mean the end of the Boston Globe op-ed page?
What was your
point, Alex?
I don't know. My point. I saw that that thing has been out there in the ether sphere for about 6 or 7 days, this admission that the relatively prestigious scientific journal community has been publishing papers generated by random computer programs that are just complete idiocy. And I don't know. It just kind of seized me. It was terrible because it's the kind of column you want to have written immediately, and yet I stewed over it, you know, for a number of days because I only write once a week. And then I thought, God, I should really do something that's like more important, like about Ukraine or something. You know, think something people really care about.
So why didn't
about.
You do that, by the way?
Because I hate that stuff.
You
it just bores me to death.
Could you do me a favor? Could you do a dramatic reading of the end of your column, the portion that's about yourself?
This is great.
You don't have to read the whole thing. Read it as
this
selected parts.
This is a set piece, though. I mean, I always do this.
Go ahead.
Because I always feel if anyone has to be trashed, it has to be
Fine,
Alex.
Just read it.
I'll try to be quick.
It.
All right.
Fine, thank
so,
you.
So, yeah, okay. I'm sorry, I kind of stalled so long. Airtime's not pressed. Precious. The editors of the Boston Globe, in a tiny note artfully buried at the bottom of page 2, that's for insiders, of course, because we put all our corrections there, unlike on the air, where yours end up, admitted that half of the hundreds of columns written by Alex Beeman in his centuries-long stint at the newspaper, I mean, really, who's
Go
not
ahead.
Tired
Just
of Alex
reading.
Beam, had been purged, quote, so much of Beam's work was borderline unreadable, the editor's note stated, quote, he tossed around words like, quote, obscurantist, atavistic, whatever that means, and seriatim, as if he was auditioning for tenure in the English department at Middlesex Community College. But in the end, a lot of his work read like computer-generated nonsense. That's really my watchword. I wish I could write a column with that title. Okay,
what's
fine.
Seriatim, please?
Seriatim means in a row, in a row. That's like when you're describing the affairs you've had with members either of the same sex or the opposite sex. You're always careful to point out that there's seriatim as opposed to overlapping.
Oh, okay.
It's like serial monogamy.
You know what the perfect thing is?
Yeah.
Because that it would be Latin, for those who don't know, which, of course, according to Dan Quayle, is what they speak in Latin America. And it's a perfect segue to our second topic with you, which is one of our favorite topics, which just happens to be a human. That, of course, would be Pope Francis. So he gives this interview to an Italian daily yesterday. But that isn't – were you fixed on what he said there about potentially embracing same-sex civil unions? Or were you obsessed or captured by the Fan magazine that has come out that essentially is devoted to Pope Francis that upsets him a little bit?
No, I realize that it's confusing because there's two Pope memes clashing out there at one time. But I was amused, certainly, by the idea that there is an Italian fan magazine. What's called Il Mio Papa, my Pope.
Yeah.
It has a centerfold, which I think
is great.
That offers, we'll want to get in the second issue to see what the nuns, the sisters of poor Claire.
Fine.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just asking.
69 pages, by the way, the first edition.
Yeah. So that obviously caught my interest, but then, yes, of course, I mean, in a sense, much more significantly, and addressed in today's Boston Globe by John Allen, the Father Guido Sarducci of the Boston Globe, our number one Vatican.
That was Alex Beam who said that. Go ahead.
Oh, why? Like someone else is saying.
Go ahead.
I mean, he gave this important interview, and again, people are reacting very, very powerfully. I mean, you were, in a sense, polite enough to bury the headline, but the headline has been, of course, that he seems to say, we're not going to put on sackcloth and ashes over the child sex abuse scandals in North America and elsewhere. And people are
very upset.
Very upset.
Yeah, the bishopsaccountability.org, which is a great website that's tracked all these scandals in the Catholic Church, they reacted very, very badly to this. The SNAP, the Survivors Network, has reacted very badly to this. He doesn't seem to be and if he doesn't grasp that they have not been transparent and they have not done everything they should have, this is going to be a huge stain on this papacy, no matter how many things he does about divorce and remarriage and other things. I think it's going to be tough.
We should read his own. Let's just read his words. Obviously, the translation. Here it is. This is from Pope Francis himself, which really is, at least in my estimation, a turnaround. Well, not a turnaround, but the first wrong turn that this guy has made in his year plus there. The Catholic Church is perhaps the only public institution to have acted with transparency and responsibility. No, this is about the sex abuse crisis. No one else has done more, yet the Church is the only one to have been attacked. Boy, that is, it's not just saying we'll get to it eventually.
Let me say a couple. I'm perfectly willing to be an apologist for unspeakable acts. I mean, first of all, let's tip our cap to Jim Carroll, whose massive New Yorker piece really called this one point out. I think really the best English language piece still on Pope Francis appeared about a month ago. James Carroll's long profile. He carved out a huge section of that profile saying, this is, going to be challenging, meaning he was very skeptical and he gave broad voice to the critics on this one point. And he called this out as a potential sort of soft spot for Francis. We're sitting in Boston. I know you don't want to hear this, but we're sitting in Boston. We're sitting in ground zero of this horror.
The whole world is ground zero. Maybe this was the first ground zero, but the world became ground zero. But continue, Alex.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you could.
But go ahead.
I don't want to disagree with you. Ireland, North America. I don't want to disagree with you because I don't like playing a losing hand. And it's a terror. I'm sure that translation is accurate. And his use of the word transparency, I think to all three of us, seems like a very unfortunate choice of words.
Yes, inaccurate, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, having said that, alas, this is probably the way it looks from where he sits. And, I entertain hopes that, that he'll get out more and that we'll, that there will be evolutionary change on this.
Well, there is one hope that Sean O'Malley, the Archbishop of Boston, and many of the survivors are not keen on Sean O'Malley all the time either, because they claim he has not released a sufficient numbers of names of accused, validly accused priests. But O'Malley is on this committee. He's very close to the Pope. I'm hoping that maybe O'Malley can convince him that more needs to be done, that maybe he doesn't have the perspective he should.
We spoke to a lot of we've done a lot of interviews since Pope Francis took over, and I would say almost without exception, the interviews we've done in the last 3 or 4 months, even people who are the strongest advocates on this issue say, well, I wish he'd say more. The guy's been there a year. He's done a lot of first steps on a lot of things. We wish he'd acted more quickly or spoken more quickly and powerfully on this issue, but we're willing to give him a little more time. I think Brian McGorry is one of the people who said it. Your boss, actually, so be careful. A couple of weeks ago to us.
I answer to no man for the record.
It's one thing to be saying give him time to get his act together, but to make an affirmative statement like this that is so not only blatantly wrong, but also is so offensive to so many people who suffered and so many people who care about the suffering, that's what's troubling. If he said, listen, I'm buried, I'm going to deal with this. Maybe I haven't dealt with this as fast as other people, but I'm the boss. I will deal with it when I think it's appropriate. I think most people would say, give him a few more months, give him something. This is really intense.
No, you're definitely right. I mean, Alan had an interesting piece in the Globe. You know that. I mean, he appointed this Australian, kind of the super conservative Australian head of the Treasury, you know, to maybe get him out from the center on this. I mean, he's playing a very complicated chess game. I'm only throwing this out since I'm not Catholic. You know, in the Episcopal religion, there's a huge balancing act played against Africa, which dominates the church. I mean, I feel bad. I apologize for this line of apologetics. I mean, it's quite possible that he's playing a global game. He has other audiences that he's conscious of at this time. And I hope for motion on this issue.
But let's not be totally depressed about the Pope's interview, because he did say something that has intrigued very many people, opening the possibility that he's not opposed in certain circumstances to civil unions. This is pretty dramatic
for same-sex
stuff.
Couples.
Yes, for same-sex couples. Exactly.
Yeah, what does that mean? I mean, in certain circumstances.
Well, it means that we're no longer talking about homosexual acts as intrinsic evils like the last Pope did.
Well, to be fair, that was literally the first thing out of his mouth, right? I mean, who am I to judge these people?
Yes.
I mean,
or the guy you and Kevin Cullen quoted, the guy who is boycotting the St.
Patrick's Day Parade
from that immaculate whatever.
Who talked about this too. So I think this is a wonderful thing, because he's obviously saying, you know, let's not be judgmental. Let's be welcoming. Let's understand that if you're in a same-sex union, you may have reasons for economic reasons or for health reasons or health insurance reasons that these unions can go forward. So he seemed to give an okay to the possibility of those being ratified
in the law. He's a complicated
guy.
You know, I had this totally ridiculous random thought driving in here. I was thinking, like, if Pope Francis's first declaration can be, let's put some of these thorny, divisive social agenda items behind us, and he's obviously ridden a nice wave for roughly a year. Why can't the Republican Party do the same thing? I'd like to see a revivified Republican Party in America. I mean, why don't they take a cue from him? Okay, that's
okay,
enough.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Last thing, because this actually relates to you, even though you may not understand it. The headline is a new, and I mean, you may not understand the relationship. I don't mean you don't understand
it. Will you speak slowly,
it.
Please?
A okay, new SAT really aims to realign with schoolwork. Here are the major changes happening in the SAT, in part because far fewer schools are using it. It's becoming less popular. One, they're going to end the longstanding penalty for guessing wrong. That is a good thing, I think. They're cutting obscure vocabulary words. I'm sort of ambivalent about that.
You're
it means you'll never understand an
that.
Alex Beam column.
Right.
But finally, making the essay optional. Essay was added, I don't know, a decade or so ago. If I were the decision maker, I would say dump the standardized multiple choice stuff. And even though I know that a lot of kids have essays written for them and they pay for them, the essay, you learn much more about a kid than how he or she does on a multiple choice
exam,
don't you?
And you're taking it during the tests, so you'd have to, I mean, you don't
theoretically, unless you memorize it, theoretically you have to do it there. What's your take on this? I mean, because writing is what you theoretically do.
Well, it's what we all do, right? I mean, that's an interesting take, Jim, frankly. I mean, my wife hires writers, and I challenge her. I say, you know, I mean, so few people, like, make writers write, like, as a test, you know, because the secret is that really no one in America can write, like, three paragraphs to save their lives.
Agreed, which is arguably speaking and writing. Are there anything more important skills than those?
I agree with you. It'd be interesting to see if your idea is adopted. The point is, of course, that A and B, meaning language, so-called language skills and math, you know, there's got to be, I guess, a reward for the boys and girls who paid attention in class, right? I like the way you think, but
thank
I
you.
Mean, those are probably here to stay because the A students want to have their day in court.
Well, I think it's great in the sense that what they found is that the SATs are not necessarily an indicator of how you're going to do in college, that the kids that really did pay attention in class and did do their homework go on to college to do the same sort of thing. So why not reward them? And there is more standardization now with all these testings of schools. It's not like it was 20 or 30 years ago where you'd be in some terrible high school knowing nothing.
Well,
so you had
I think Jim
SAT.
Alluded to this, but as is generally, which is really interesting, is that like the top 50 colleges have a lot of them have evolved not only the Common App, but there's like 20 colleges in this area that have one specific kind of, they're pooling their resources to kind of change the game. Which is great, because so kids can apply to the college they want to apply to, blah, blah, blah.
Now, let me be clear before you go, Alex, since time is on the wane here.
Are you going to murder
this
another song?
This was the point title? In which I was going to make clear that when I said to Judy Collins yesterday, in my excitement, I love the way you do All My Life by the Beatles, It was actually in my life. And it is one of the finest songs.
You made that mistake earlier today.
That's what I would have done. No, yeah. I did. It was recorded yesterday.
It's
and
rare.
Played today.
It's but rare, I would have done that. That he makes a mistake.
So despite that, thank you for the correction.
He's
Alex
no.
Beam.
Where's my eco bag?
You find him in the Boston Globe. It's right. Beautiful to see you as
have
always,
a nice
Alex.
Day.
Thank you
okay.
so much. And we are joined this moment yet again by our colleague, Kim Saltmarsh, to make a final pitch for you contributing to the work we and everybody else in this building do. Take it away, Kim.
Well, that's what it's really about, Jim. You know, every once in a while, I feel truly inspired. And I am truly inspired in this moment right now. I have to tell you that not only did we go through all of the Judy Collins tickets, but so many people have gotten involved, left a comment online at WGBHnews.org as to why they feel that this is worthy of their support. And this is one of those moments. I hope in the next 3 minutes or so that you'll be a part of this, that you'll join this mission to say thank you to as many people as possible. You know, WGBH was founded on the idea that this community deserves to be connected, deserves to be informed, deserves to be inspired. That is still the mission today. I hope if you feel that is worthy of your support, that you'll step up right now in the next 2 minutes or so, since Boston Public Radio ends at 2 o'clock.
Okay, I'm going to read a couple of quick thank yous. Then you got to give a phone number and an email address. Fran and Jamestown, Rhode Island, Krista in Boston, Scott in Natick, Emma in West Newton, Kim in Millis, Noreen in Needham, Charlene in Natick, this is so great, Chris in North Weymouth, Robert in Wakefield, Rhode Island, and Daria in Arlington. Thank you all. The phone number is what, Kim?
It is 888-897-9424. You can always do your part online at WGBHnews.org. Again, that number, 888-897-WGBH, and thank you so much for your support. Bye.